Proof, the novel by Dick Francis, dramatized in 8 parts by Ernest Dudley, with Nigel Havers as Tony Beach. Part 8.
That Sunday morning, Gerard and I had driven out to Martineau Park to meet Quigley, the proprietor of the caterers. We quickly established that his manager, Vernon, was involved in the fiddle with Paul Young. Vernon had told us everything he knew, except for Paul Young's real name. We left an urgent message for Chief Superintendent Wilson that Paul Young would be at Martineau Park at any time now, and drove away, glad to be clear before he turned up. So, where are you dragging me off to now?
Well, I didn't think you'd want to miss out on the last piece of the jigsaw.
You know something you haven't told me.
Well, let's put it this way. We know where at least some of Kenneth Charter's scotch is.
Martineau Park, quite. And that it got there delivered by Vintners Incorporated.
But we don't know where it went between being taken off Charter's tankers and being delivered by Vintners.
Except that it must be a bottling plant.
Yes.
Ah, you've found the bottling plant.
Found our bottling plant. Somewhere to start. I thought we'd take a recce this afternoon.
Yeah, but it's Sunday. There'll be no one there. You'd have to break in. Oh, no.
We'll see. Sometimes there's a caretaker. I'm good at government inspectors, even on a Sunday.
Oh, Lord. Where is it, Gerard?
25 miles this side of Kenneth Charter's headquarters. My office has been screening all the bottling plants that have any connection with Charter. All of them seem to be rock-solid businesses. Then, well, then something began to gnaw away at me from Charter Junior's diaries. Go with DN for WG with SN.
Yes?
Yeah. Well, I saw Charter again yesterday. He thought it just possible that DN might be someone called David Naylor. Apparently Junior was at school with a boy of that name. If so, then SN might be his father, Stuart Naylor.
What's the significance of that?
The significance of that, Tony, is there's a plant called Bernard Naylor Bottling, owned now by Stuart Naylor. Old respectable firm, according to Charter. He's known Naylor very slightly for years.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, any ideas on WG?
No. Well, it's not much of a lead, but it's the only one we've got.
Could Stuart Naylor have an illegitimate brother?
Well, anyone could have an illegitimate brother, but Charter didn't know of one. Naylor's plant's a long shot, but if by any chance Stuart Naylor is also Paul Young, he should be at Martineau Park this afternoon, not at his bottling plant.
Did Charter say what he looked like?
Ordinary, he said.
Yeah. Paul Young wears a death aid. Does Naylor?
He didn't say. And I forgot to ask.
Oh, pity.
Look, if you'd rather not come...
Have you ever been to a bottling plant? I mean, do you know what you're looking for?
No.
Well, I spent a year in and out of them in Bordeaux. I think you need me with you.
I don't really like to ask. It's on the very edge of consultancy.
You wouldn't know the wine if you fell into it, would you? Or the scotch.
Not a chance.
Oh, bloody hell. You are a bugger.
I thought you'd like to come, really. Fancy a pint and a pork pie. I mean, suppose you were Stuart Naylor.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you'd spent your life in the family bottling business.
Yeah.
Then, excuse me, because the French change their regulations, the wine flood dries up to trickle. What do you do?
Well, you buy wine yourself instead of bottling it for others.
Right.
Label it as better than it is. Yes, and then sell it to your half-brother, who you set up in the Silver Moon Dance, where the wine sells for about 20 times what it cost you. Not bad, eh?
Then the greed complex strikes. They expand activities to include Martineau Park.
Mm.
Money rolls in to such an extent the cash has to be converted into horse flesh and shipped to California, where it's converted back to cash. And one day, perhaps, you'll retire to live in the sun.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Mm. Only the last chapter seldom happens. The addiction to crime is too strong. Yeah. I've caught several industrial spies because they couldn't kick their taste for creeping about with cameras.
Or clean up and clear out?
Absolutely, Tony. But almost never done.
So, Naylor turns his ideas to scotch, eh?
Exactly. A school friend visits his son. The boy's father carries scotch in his tankers. Well, the wine profits are healthy. The profit from stolen scotch will be astronomical.
So he casts an eye over Junior and wonders if he's ripe for a spot of treason.
Uh-huh. So Zarak is sent to recruit him at a disco or a snooker hall. Says, get me the tanker's keys and the tanker's route and I'll give you a pile of money. Well, drink up. We'll be on our way.
Right. Oh, do you know how to find this plant? Or do we ask a policeman? We found ourselves threading through the streets of Ealing, sleepy suburbs where countless roasts spluttered in countless ovens at Sunday lunchtime. The plant was in one of those suburbs, built before zoning, where light industries sat among dwelling houses as an integral part of the community. The nearer we got to Naylor, the more nervous I became. I thought of my father setting off into battlefields, inspiring his men. Why couldn't I be like him? Instead, I felt my mouth go dry and my breath shorten, even before we arrived at the plant.
We turn left here. This is our road. There it is. See? I'll pull up here.
Look, we won't be able to get in. I mean, there's broken glass embedded in the top of those walls. And there's barbed wire along at the top of the gates. And don't tell me you can pick that half-ton padlock on the gates.
No need. Open your eyes, Tony. In many massive, conspicuously bolted gates, there's a smaller door inset, wide enough for one person only. Look, there's one, the left-hand gate, with an ordinary-looking spring lock. If I can't get us through there, I've been wasting the best years of my life.
There may be people in there.
Well, if there are, we found the gate open and walked in out of curiosity.
We strolled casually up to the gates, and within moments, Gerard had the door open and stepped through as if the place belonged to him. We were in a big, concreted yard. On our left, a gatehouse, but no gatekeeper. Gerard worked his plastic credit card trick once more, and I followed him into the gatehouse.
There won't be much of interest in here, surely.
My dear Tony, in old factories like this, it's quite common to find the keys to all the buildings hanging on a board in the gatehouse.
Oh, right.
And what, I wonder, is in here? Ah, just what we wanted. And all the keys are here.
Are you
there
sure?
There really is no one about. We have the place to ourselves.
Yeah, but how long have we got?
If Stuart Naylor really is Paul Young, and if he goes to Martineau Park, then the police are there to pick him up. There's no reason at all why we should be disturbed.
It just doesn't feel like that.
No, no. Well, it's always scary the first few times.
All right, now, where do we go now?
The offices. I know what I'm looking for there.
We walked across the concrete to the office building and let ourselves in to a suite of rooms marked Managing Director. While Gerard busied himself with invoices, I started to poke around in the other rooms. A door led into what had probably been designed as a boardroom, but the whole center space was taken up by what at first glance appeared to be a snooker table. But it wasn't snooker that was played on it. The whole table was covered in miniature green mountains, wooded valleys, plains and plateaus, all of it green and brown like the earth, with a winding ribbon of pale blue in a valley as a river. I stared at it in awe.
What the hell is that? Looks like a battlefield.
Oh, yes, of course. Now we know what WG stands for.
Do we?
War Games.
Good Lord. That's what Charter Junior came here for. Where are the soldiers?
Well, look at the shelves. Hundreds of them. All tidily stacked in different uniforms.
Tanks, guns, missiles, incredible.
Helicopters, First War biplanes, barbed wire. God, it's extraordinary. You know, hand-painted some of them.
Hmm.
Wait a minute.
What?
Those mountains.
Don't touch them. We don't want to leave any trace of our having been here.
Yeah, but listen. They're hollow inside.
Hmm. What of it?
You know what they're made of? White stuff.
Plaster of Paris. God, yes.
Look at the edges, like bandage. I think he's modelled the whole countryside, isn't it?
So, not an ear, nose and throat consultant, but a War Games fanatic. Simple material, easily moulded, sets hard as rock.
Yes, there must be a fair few rolls of this stuff on the table.
I suppose he just bought some more the day he went to the Silver Moon Dance. Just happened to have it in his rolls.
You don't just happen to wrap people's heads in it, the bastard. He used this on Zarak.
Come on, let's get out of here. I can't find anything out of place in the paperwork. No invoices as from Vintners Incorporated, nothing. Let's try the plant itself.
The building was old, built by Grandfather Naylor to last for generations. A locked door opened to the key marked label room, and we stood looking at an expanse of floor covered with thousands upon thousands of labels.
Good heavens. Is all this usual?
Oh, yes, yes, it's quite usual. No one manages to order exactly the right number of labels for any particular job, so the unused ones just tend to pile up.
So they do.
Now, what we're looking for are the fake labels, the Santa Steph and the bells.
Right. Let's find them. We need something. We need proof.
We got to work, but to our dismay, none of the false labels turned up. I noticed a door at the back of the room and suggested taking a look. It was locked and none of the keys fitted. Gerard diagnosed a mortise job and produced a steel probe, which he inserted into the keyhole. His eyes unfocused, unseeing as he concentrated on feeling his way through the tumblers, all his consciousness in his fingers. Till at last...
Got it. Hope it's been worth waiting for.
Bingo! This is it. The printing press. A modern job, all nicely oiled and shiny.
And bells, labels, look, thousands of them.
Yes, brilliant. You can't tell them from the real thing. And here we are. Santa Steph, Santa Emilion, Nuit Saint-Georges, the lot. All run off this press.
I'll take one each of the false labels. They're all the proof we need.
Well, a taste of the stuff would be even better.
I had no idea the vats were so huge.
Well, Charter's tanker would fill four of these. See, a vat that size holds 1,500 gallons. Get a lungful of that warm, rosy aroma. Ooh, it's like coming home.
Let's see what's in them.
Well, there's a contents card on each vat. This one says, whiskey, shipped September the 10th.
Ah, no. That's the day Charter's last load got hijacked. This must be his stuff.
Yeah, I'll take a quick sample.
How can you do that?
Well, there's a small testing valve on each vat, just here. If I give it a turn... Bingo! That's Charter's rannoc mixed with West London tap water. Just the same as the Silver Moon Dance.
But you said all whiskey's diluted, to bring it down to 40% alcohol.
Well, it certainly is, but a Scottish distiller would have a fit. See, they'd use only pure soft loch water. I mean, some tap water isn't too bad, but round here it's awful. Now, when I tasted the Silver Moon Dance scotch, I could sort of smell chemicals very faintly in the aftertaste. Oh. Now I know why.
Well... We've seen everything now except the actual bottling department. Where would that be?
Well, the liquor is pumped from the vats to the bottling plant, so to find that, we simply follow the hoses.
Right.
Okay. The hoses snaked round a corner into a light, airy hall on two stories, where liquid was fed into bottles, stoppered by corks, labels applied, and bottles packed into cases.
I'd somehow expected something dark and Dickensian. Where do we look for our fake booze?
Well, those big wooden crates probably contain empty bottles.
Uh-huh. And what are those glass booth things?
Well, the actual bottling, corking and labelling machines are enclosed in glass for safety. Now, one set looks ready to go. And you see up there on that bridge, those four vats?
Yes.
Well, the liquor is pumped along from the huge vats in the hall, through the hoses, up into those vats on the bridge. And then it feeds down, by gravity, into the bottles.
Ah, I see.
Now, the pumps for those vats look as if they're up on the bridge. I'll go up and see if there's anything in them, if you like.
Right.
I went up the stairs. There were four electric pumps, but only one was connected to hoses. In that one case, a hose came up from the floor below, the main hose which ran away to the great storage vats in the main hall. A second hose ran from the pump to the top of the feeder vat. I'd become so at home in my more or less natural surroundings that I'd forgotten to be frightened for the past 10 minutes. That was a mistake.
What the hell do you think you're doing? Stay right where you are. Put your hands up and turn around.
Ah, good afternoon.
Shut up and stand still. Who the hell are you? You're not that bastard Beach, that bloody wine merchant.
Indeed I am not. Allow me to introduce myself. I am an inspector from a customs...
Quiet! Easy now. I might
just see what you've got in your pockets. I don't want to shoot you in here. Too much sodding mess, but any force moving I will, mess or no mess. Right, so it's Mr. Gerard McGregor, is it? Investigative consultant, eh? How the hell did you turn up here?
The gates were unlocked and I happened to be passing.
Oh, shut it! Happened to be passing, eh? You wish you bloody hadn't. So where's your friend, Beach?
I've no idea who you're talking about.
What the hell are these? The wine labels. So you've seen the press, have you? Well, then I'm afraid you've seen too much. You're a dead man, Mr. McGregor.
I did, of course, leave word of where I was going. If I don't return safely, you'll find a police at your door, Mr. Naylor.
They always say that in the movies, but it's never bloody true, is it?
There's always a first time.
Not for you, there isn't. And just stay there, McGregor, exactly where you are.
I crouched on the bridge in a frozen state, incapable of movement. A clammy chill of abject fear locking my muscles. I thought of climbing onto the rail and launching myself at Young or Naylor or whoever he was. But I'd no real chance of doing so without him hearing and having plenty of time to shoot either or both of us before we could disarm him. Now, for some people, it might be worth flinging your life away to prove you were brave, but not for me. Then I saw what Naylor had brought out of his briefcase, a wide, white bandage. I felt sick. I should have jumped while I had the chance.
Now then, Mr. McGregor, see what I have here. Ooh, what's this? Not so talkative now. That's a shame, because you won't be talking ever again to anybody. Right, over here. Put your hands on the rail.
With great speed, using just one hand while the other held his shotgun in Gerard's face, Naylor tied Gerard's wrists to the rail. I saw a tremor run through his body. The lines of his face set rigid, his eyes hollow. I knew he must be terrified, but not for a single second did he look upwards to me on the bridge. I had to do something, but what? I had no weapon. Naylor began to wind the bandage around Gerard's neck. Once, twice. Suddenly, Gerard was yelling. Gerard was kicking and screaming as Naylor wound the bandage around him. Carry on screaming. Carry on kicking, Gerard. The weapon I had was knowledge. I climbed the ladder up the vat, grasped the locking nut that connected the hose, turned it, lifted the hose off the vat, and then came back down the ladder. I aimed the hose at Naylor and switched on the pump. The wine had shot out like water from a fire hose, striking Naylor and throwing him backwards, off balance. I threw down the hose, climbed the rail, and launched myself at Naylor. I caught him by his jacket and dragged him under the gushing wine.
Come, breathe!
Drown, you bastard! Drown!
When he'd had enough to incapacitate him, I let him drop and turned my attention to Gerard, still tied by his wrists to the rail.
Ah. What kept you, Tony? Thought you were never coming.
I'm sorry about that.
Never mind. Your intervention when it did come was as welcome as it was surprising.
Thank you. Glad to be of service.
I don't suppose you could cut my wrists free? This bandage is beginning to tighten rather painfully.
Right. What with? I don't suppose you carry a knife of any kind, do you?
I'm afraid not, don't you? You're never without a corkscrew, after all.
Wait a minute. Oh, good Lord, yes, of course.
Ah, thought you were a penknife sort of bloke.
Flora gave me this just the other day.
God bless Flora.
Oh.
I don't want to alarm you, but before you finish cutting me free, you might like to deal with Mr. Naylor. He seems to be returning to life.
Do you think he might appreciate a bottle of Santa's Death?
I'm sure he would.
Right. Should slow him down a bit.
Splendid.
Now, what are we going to do?
Well, you seem pretty much in control, you tell me.
Well, a phone call to the police, perhaps. I think Detective Chief Superintendent Wilson would appreciate it.
After we're off the premises, I think.
Yes, in the meantime, what do we do with Naylor?
Hoist him with his own petard.
Yes, good idea. What does it mean?
Tie him to this rail with his own plaster of Paris bandage. Pour a little Saint-Estèphe over it and let it harden. The best possible pair of handcuffs. 5 minutes and it'll take a saw to release him.
Excellent. Well, that's it then.
You're a free man.
Thanks. Do you think we should shut that wine off before it washes us all away?
Mr. Beach, is that you?
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
And was it you earlier who left a message directing us to Martineau Park?
Yes.
Paul Young didn't turn up, Mr. Beach. What made you think he would?
Well, it's a long story, but I do know where he is now. Do you want him?
Don't be facetious, Mr. Beach.
Bernard Naylor Bottling and Ealing. You'll find a printing press complete with fake bells and fake wine labels as found at the Silver Moon Dance, plus stolen whiskey in the vats. The scotch was stolen from tankers belonging to charter carriers. Oh, and you'll find plaster of Paris in the managing director's office, as used to murder Zarak.
Ah, you have been busy, Mr. Beach. And where will I find Mr. Young?
Oh, yes, so sorry. You'll find him tied on a rail in the bottling plant.
Isn't that rather risky? Might he not untie himself?
Not from rock-hard plaster of Paris, no. Oh, and by the way, his real name is Stuart Naylor, Larry Trent's half-brother.
Mr. Beach,
By the way, I should wear your galoshes if I were you. There's rather a lot of cheap red wine sloshing about. I've ruined a rather decent pair of shoes.
Mr. Beach,
goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
All right?
Yep. I think Wilson's a bit put out.
There'll be endless questions.
Well, can't be helped.
Well, I'm glad you came along. Frankly, I was bloody terrified.
I know. So was I.
That plaster. I was screaming. I've never been so craven in my life.
Fear in a fearful situation is normal. Absence of fear is not.
Touché. I also feared you couldn't rescue me.
Couldn't? Or wouldn't try?
Oh, no, couldn't. It would have been pointless to throw your life away, making a useless gesture.
Dying in the attempt.
Yeah. That has always seemed to me the height of incompetence. I really am in your debt.
Uh-oh. It's the other way around.
I'll call it quits. I don't suppose you fancy some sort of permanent consultancy position with my firm.
Well, you surely can't have that many wine frauds.
No. No, but you've a real eye for detail that's quite invaluable. A good man to bounce ideas off. We often work like that, kicking things around between a couple of us. We'd make quite a partnership.
Yes. It's true. Thanks, but no. I'll stay with the shop. It's more my style.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
The shop can still function its own with the manager.
No, I'm quite sure. It suits me. The scale of its life is my scale. We fit.
Right. Well, I'll be looking in for the odd bottle of something, I dare say.
Gerard dropped me off at home and drove away after the briefest of waves. There seemed no suitable farewell. In the hall, I glanced in the mirror and saw a red devil looking out at me. My hair was spiky and sticky with wine, and my face stained purple. I was filled quite suddenly with a sort of restless exultation. I went through the house shouting,
Emma! 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 Emma!
I didn't shout for lack of her, but from wanting to tell her, wanting to shout to her, to make her hear, that for once I felt I'd done what I should, that I hadn't been a coward forever, that I hadn't failed her memory or myself, and that I felt comforted and whole and at one with her, and that if I wept for her from now on, it would be for what she'd missed, the whole of her life, her unborn child. And no longer for my own loss, no longer from loneliness or guilt. somewhere in the battle, I had found the courage of my father.
In Proof, the novel by Dick Francis, dramatized by Ernest Dudley, Nigel Havers played Tony Beach, George Parsons, Gerard, Stuart Organ, Paul Young, and Manning Wilson, Chief Superintendent Wilson. Proof was directed by Matthew Walters.